bringing the synergy of the blindness movement into concentrated programs. Blindness initiatives at the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute. Our presenter for this is a gentleman who this convention knows well. He exemplifies what we do in our organization every day. He is clear and persistent on our policies. And he also works hard to build partnerships for us. Would you please give your attention now to the Executive Director for Blindness Initiatives? Here's Anil Lewis. Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, thunder. Thunder.
Puppy Fist. Yeah, thunder.
Kids were laughing in my classes while I was scheming for the masses.
Very nice. I was afraid of what was going to get chosen. I like that one. I'm good with that. Yeah. Good morning, Federation.
Good morning.
Man, thank you guys for waking up and coming down. Woo. Hasn't this been a wonderful convention? I have to admit, I was a little afraid. You know, we've gotten very comfortable down in Florida, the challenge of a new location. But in Federation form and fashion, we stepped up, and man, we turned this place out. So this has been wonderful. Thank you, guys. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. Bringing synergy. When I saw that, I reflected back on last year's banquet speech. So I had to go back and revisit and understand what synergy was. Synergy to the blindness movement. Okay, let me see if I can list this way. Is that better? Okay, they had the microphone set on shorter people.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I it was in my chest. I speak better through my mouth. Okay. All right, I'm going to try something a little different, so you guys bear with me. But speaking of synergy, I had to go back and revisit synergy, and it's the interaction and or cooperation of two or more agents working together to produce a combined effect that's greater than the sum of their separate effects. What? That's where I went with that. So I had to think about it a little bit, and I recognized that that's really what we do as an organization. So in order to get founded and really understanding, I picked one of our programs and realized that, yes, synergy is what we do through our movement and our concentrated programs. The Braille Enrichment Literacy Through Learning Academies that we produced through 30-plus states and 40-plus programs is definitely exemplary of synergy in the blindness movement. A program that started as one, the recognition that we as an organization needed to step up and provide services to our blind students in a way that the systems are not. Because if they will not teach them, we will teach them ourselves. It started as a program in Maryland, Jackie Anderson and all of her team, and then other individuals added to that program to the place where we have such a broad nationwide exposure of the program, from one program to so many. And beyond that, the efficacy of what we do has also drawn the attention of funding sources that have allowed us to leverage that as well. Because yes, we could do it. Our commitment through our volunteer efforts to change the lives of blind people has held fast for these many years. But it sure does help a lot. We can get $100,000 to put in the bank to help support some of that programming. So thank you to Wells Fargo and being a financial partner of our Bell Academy. But I think what's important is to understand that synergy is, as the definition just said, is not the sum of our separate efforts, right? It's producing an effect, that combined effect that's bigger and broader than that sum. So not just additive, exponential. So not just 2x, but X squared. And if we add our diversity and work on including more and more people, we can do it to the third power, to the fourth power. So that's what we do as an organization. Our synergy helps us take one person's desire and wish, build on the collective effort of the nation's blind, and create exponential programs that positively impact the lives of blind people. But it requires all of us, not just some of us, right? We must seek to understand from various perspectives in order to make sure that we can bring individuals with those various perspectives into our organization. How many of you guys have seen the movie The Help? Okay, good, so then this won't be lost. I try to find analogies that help me understand stuff, and it doesn't really help to me to share them with you if you don't have the reference. But The Help is a movie about, Viola Davis, I think that's really where she came on the scene, about domestics, black domestics in the 60s. And I should have asked the permission, but I'm going to put it out there. So Everly Harrison and Gary Wonder and I were sitting around having a conversation about The Help. And Everly was saying, oh, I really just didn't like the way that movie was portraying some of these black people. And that's real. That's her perspective. But being a little country boy raised in the big city, my mom was a domestic for a significant part of her life. And a lot of the scenes in that movie resonated with me and just struck so true from what I saw her experience to be. But the interesting dynamic is two things. One, Everly and I, both African-American, saw it from a different perspective. We saw good and bad in the movie from different lenses. So Everly said that she was very disappointed of the way that black people were portrayed in that movie. And Gary Wonder, just being Gary Wonder, added insight that helped me expand my paradigm of this perception. He said, I was embarrassed and upset about the way they portrayed white people. I never thought about that. Hadn't been my lived experience. I didn't, you know. So it's very helpful for us to have those candid conversations, for us to really look at things from different perspectives, and then what we need to do is respect them and value them. And when it's all said and done, we just need to look at each other and say, you is smart, you is kind, you is important. If you don't get that, you have to watch the movie. I'm sorry. So as we work on our diversity and inclusion efforts, one thing that's very important is let us not forget that as we seek to embrace every characteristic of individuals, that we don't stray away from our core of accepting everybody regardless of their vision. Regardless of their level of sight, they are part of the National Federation of the Blind. Moreover, we must accept them regardless of their skill level. Whether you can make it from here back to your room without touching anything or needing any assistance, or if you need someone to help guide you through this, you are still a member of the National Federation of the Blind. We are not an organization of elitists, but the National Federation of the Blind is an elite organization. We have to be welcoming and accepting to everyone. Our foundation of this organization, the foundation of the National Federation of the Blind, is what gives us our strength, because we're founded on the lived life experience of blind people. That's our core. It's not based on some curriculum that someone passed. It's not based on some program. It's based on our everyday lived experience interacting with the world, and we develop strategies and techniques that allow us to be successful in this world. We know the perils and the pitfalls of blindness, and we challenge them and we overcome them. And we have not just survived, we have thrived. We took what little the world had to offer us and we made something powerful: the National Federation of the Blind. So you know I can't get up on the stage without being authentic to who I am. So my grandma raised hogs. You guys are like, where is he going with this? My grandma raised hogs. I've had everything on the hog, from the rooter to the tooter. That's a delicious animal. I'm just letting you know. I'm sorry, John Parade, but it is a delicious animal. I've had pig feet and pig tails and, huh? Pig ears. Anybody? But see, we had that because my grandma raised the hogs, but we didn't get the good stuff. We very rarely got the pork chops and all the pork loin that we sold. We sold that so we could make money to buy other groceries. So we had to use the leftovers, right? But man, my grandma made it delicious. The only thing I couldn't get into was the chitlins. I just can't do that one. I thought I had every part of the pig until I was talking to Miss Patricia Meyer one day, and she says, well, obviously, then you've had pig cheeks. And I thought about that, and I said, no, pig feet, pig ears, pig tail, no, pig. Oh, you mean hog jaws. Yeah, well, I've had some hog jaws. Absolutely, from the rooter to the tooter, had it all. You know, but back then, those were the dregs, right? But people like my grandmother, they made those things to the point now where they're gourmet. Now the pig feet and pig tails and pig ears I used to get, you go to a restaurant, it's top dollar. But my grandma's not getting any cut of that. I mean, that's just not right. She started this, opened up this industry, and she's not getting anything about it. I'm only saying that to say this. We as an organization have taken what little the world has offered us, and we made something very powerful, the National Federation of the Blind. And we need to make sure that our value is respected as we move forward. We need to make sure that the world recognizes that we can enhance and enrich through our participation. And one of the programs that we've developed to do that is our Blind Users Innovating and Leading Design. As technology is evolving, we recognize that only if we're involved on that design phase can blind people really impact the development, so that not only is it accessible for us when it's over, it's also better for everyone that uses it, not just blind people. And through our BUILD program, we offer support from novices to experts, because many companies out there developing this technology will hire a blind person who's definitely skilled. God rest her soul, Rachel Olivero could have made the most inaccessible anything accessible, but that wouldn't leave a person like me able to use it at all. So we make sure that we give them that feedback in a way that really represents our true desire, our selfish desire to make sure that we can access things, but also our altruistic desire to make, because we realize that our participation helps everyone, not just us. Let me take the time now to thank each and every one of you who've signed up for the BUILD program. I know we haven't pushed a lot of it out, but we have to build the infrastructure first so that we can make sure that as the demand comes, we're able to meet the demand, and the demand is coming. Just to show you some examples of this, we've had a recent, where's New York and Colorado? Okay. So we had a company contact us, and they wanted to test digital lockers, and they wanted to make sure that they were accessible for blind individuals. We've already demonstrated our expertise in that and working with the Amazon locker system. But in the past, they would have pulled blind people aside, had them participate in the experience, and said thank you very much and shook their hand. But because we're able to negotiate and we recognize the value of our participation, we were able to make sure that each and every person that participated in that demonstration received $100 for about 45 minutes worth of work. I think that's a pretty good minimum wage, don't you? So everything won't get that degree of value, so I don't want everybody signing up thinking, wow, I'm about to get paid. But we do want to make sure that our value is recognized and our members are not co-opted. We have more work to do. We have to work on accessible kiosks. We have to work on accessible websites. We have to work on different banking solutions. And we definitely have to work on point of sale and those new virtual customer interfaces, like at McDonald's, who launched this nationwide announcement about this flagship location in Manhattan, where they're introducing all of this technology in the kiosk where you walk up and make your order, and it's not accessible. And those of you who know me know I love myself some Mickey D's. But right about now, ba 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 ba, I'm not loving it. So we must make sure that we're in this game and we're playing in a way that makes sure that our participation is appreciated. We must protect our brand. It's the other piece that's important for this. All right, now, this might hurt some people, but I'm just gonna put it out there. All right, we have to make sure that our brand is not co-opted. The work that we do needs to bring value back to the National Federation of the Blind. A way to make it real. How many of you guys, I know Dan Winslow knows, how many of you guys know what the blues are all about? Okay, so maybe this will help those who didn't understand the hogs. The blues is music that's born out of struggle. And as the music moved up north, it turned into the foundation for R&B and rock and roll. But a lot of people don't recognize that the blues is that foundation because the brand got co-opted. Langston Hughes, in a poem around the Harlem Renaissance for the blues people, wrote, "You've taken my blues and gone. You've mixed them up on Broadway and fixed them up in operas so they don't even sound like me. Yep, you've taken my blues and gone." We can't let anybody take our blues. Our struggle and the successes and strategies that we developed as a result of that struggle belong to the National Federation of the Blind. And we're not gonna let people take our blues, all right? But we must be strategic in making sure that that is the case. We make sure that our value is recognized. Our National Federation of the Blind Training Centers, Louisiana Center for the Blind, Colorado Center for the Blind, Blind Incorporated, and all of our certified structural discovery centers recognize the benefit of our lived life experience, have benefited from our struggle. But there are others out there that are trying to take away our blues. They think that if they add sleep shades and longer canes into their curriculum that they're an NFB training center. No, we can't let them take our blues. I went to a meeting of the National Council on State Agencies for the Blind, and the work that our Michigan affiliate did with the state VR office there to build autonomous vehicle opportunities for our blind students to learn was phenomenal, and they gave us credit in that open forum. However, there was an agency, I'm sorry, I'm gonna call them out, from Idaho, that talked about the wonderful work they had been doing with their Bell program, but gave no credit to the National Federation of the Blind. They're taking away our blues. Well, don't boo them. Let's hug them until they recognize that it's safe for them to say, you know what, we did this with the NFB. Our research that we conduct, the individuals here that have come here for many years and they've taken blind people and they've done that research and they've published it. We've even had partnerships with individuals where we've collaborated with them. Luckily, you're going to hear from presenters next, Wade Goodrich from Utah State, and the new assistant professor at the Illinois State University, the master teacher that we know and love, Natalie Shaheen. And wherever she goes, you know she's a Federationist, but some of the people we partner with in our research don't acknowledge us. They're trying to take our blues. Brad Smith presented, he talked about Ann Taylor, who we know and love, and in his presentation, he recognized and acknowledged that she is a member of the National Federation of the Blind. And she says that proudly in every place that she goes. But there are other individuals out there who have built their reputation on the National Federation of the Blind, who have gained the skills and the confidence that they have needed to be out there and be successful. And when we're talking to them here, they're all about NFB. You talk to them outside, and they act like they can't pronounce the letters. They're trying to take our blues, all right? Chancey Fleet, New York. I have come to rely lately on Chancey in so many ways. I love her expertise, her knowledge, but most of all, her frankness, and it's very helpful. Chancey is building a significant brand for herself as she's moving around, but every time I've called on her and any time I've talked to anyone about her, they recognize that she's a member of the National Federation of the Blind. But there are others out there who are using the Federation to build their brand and don't have any acknowledgement of the NFB. They're trying to take our blues. Joe Ruffalo said it best when he was reelected to the board. The best title we have is members of the National Federation of the Blind. As I said last year, and Terry Rupp reiterated, whatever hat we're wearing, it has to be on our Federation head. Oh, you don't want to applaud for that? You didn't? Okay. I'll work on that tagline. So we have to make sure that as we move forward that all of these things are put in place in a way that are reflective of the value that the Federation has to offer. Internally, we have to make sure that the programs that we build through the Federation are not just programs of our National Federation of the Blind Journey and Institute. People shouldn't say, oh, this is what we're doing at our national office, because they're not just Jernigan Institute programs. They're programs of the National Federation of the Blind. They're programs for each and every one of us, and they represent all of us, and all of us should participate in the development and execution of those programs. That's what gives us our strength and our power. Last year, I talked about our career mentoring program. I just want you guys to know that that's going really well. We're trying to make sure that we maintain the authenticity of our programming within the bureaucratic framework, and we're doing a good job of doing that in Mississippi, Nebraska, and Maryland. We're doing a lot of work with autonomous vehicles. Back in 2011, under the presidency of Dr. Mark Maurer, our current president, Mark Riccobono, got to drive independently an automobile on the Daytona International Speedway. That has given us credibility and standing in this space for autonomous vehicles, because they recognize that we have the technical expertise and the capacity to not only make the vehicles accessible, but better for everyone. We're addressing the fears that people have about these autonomous vehicles, and even more so, we're putting it in a way that helps them advertise the efficacy of this. Because you guys may not know this, with the advent of all the ride sharing, a lot of people are saying that now there's so many more cars on the road. So I think it's very frustrating, because they're making it sound like that a technology that has allowed us to be more effective is just disrupting their lives. Well, that's just too bad. We pay taxes to get the roads built. We want to use the roads just like you. Stop exercising your degree of privilege and prohibiting us from being able to live the lives that we want. And luckily, we'd be able to manifest significant partnerships through Lyft and Uber, most importantly through Lyft this convention, through those autonomous vehicle rides, which was awesome. And it wasn't just a demonstration of our collaboration. It was a manifestation of our desire to continue to want to participate and add value. I'll add one other thing that we're doing, and that's accessible museum spaces. I want individuals who are interested in being ambassadors, as we talk to these museums, to reach out to us. We've developed a wonderful partnership with John Olson of 3D PhotoWorks to expand accessibility in all multimodal functions. Again, making the museum experience accessible for blind people enriches the experience for everyone. So you've taken my blues and you've gone. You've mixed them up in Broadway and mixed them up in operas so they don't even sound like me. Yep, you've taken my blues and gone. But someday, someone's gonna stand up for me. Someday someone's gonna stand up for me, sing about me, and write about me. The poem says black, I'll add blind and beautiful in the vein of Everly Harrison. Black, blind, and beautiful. Let me try to lead back into that again. But someday, someone's gonna stand up for me, gonna sing about me, gonna write about me. Black, blind, beautiful. It'll be me, I reckon. Yep, it'll be me. But it won't just be me. It'll be me working together with 50,000 members of the National Federation of the Blind to combine our efforts to produce an effect that's greater than the sum of our separate effects. Let's go forth and build the National Federation of the Blind.